morning on WCHL, the Supreme Court has ruled and towing regulations are in while the cell phone ban is out.
It's good news for cities in North Carolina that we have the authority to regulate towing from private lots.
Orange County residents get ready for a 2-cent property tax increase for schools.
We have a lot of people in Orange County that are living paycheck to paycheck. They're having a hard time putting food on the table, much less any of what many of us take for granted, including myself.
And the Moral Monday crowd will turn its attention to the workforce. These stories and more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, Chapel Hill High School has found a volleyball veteran to replace a veteran of its own, and Diamond Shields will be playing at Tennessee. And
how good are the San Antonio Spurs?
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL, 67 degrees in Chapel Hill. Partly sunny today, 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms. Our high today, about 85, not as hot as the last couple of days. Orange County residents will likely see a 2-cent increase in general property tax to help fund schools over the next fiscal year. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
I move approval of the resolution intent.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
On Thursday night, the duty of making a motion to pass a resolution of intent to adopt the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2014 to 2015 went to Commissioner Alice Gordon. Fellow Commissioner Mark Dorson all but insisted on that, saying that it would be her last opportunity to do so. She's retiring. Gordon joined other commissioners around the table at Southern Human Services Center in Chapel Hill in expressing a desire to fully fund local school systems, despite some of the back-and-forth admonishments over the past few weeks over funding requests. The $200.4 million expenditure budget that will be up for a final vote on June 17th includes a general fund school appropriation of $72.1 million, which equates to $3,571 per pupil in both the Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County school systems. Additional funding would amount to $7.1 million, enough to cover the combined shortfall for both school districts. Finding a solution to school funding problems was made a little easier with the news that Orange County's projected unassigned fund balance for fiscal year 2014 to 15 is $35.3 million, or 18.8% of the general fund expenditure. According to Orange County's policy, the unassigned fund balance should be 17% of the general fund. The current fund balance exceeds that goal by 1.83%, and the projected excess amounts to $1.9 million. On a related note, interim manager Michael Talbert informed commissioners that they will see an agenda item next Tuesday that reflects the county's new AAA rating. A refund will be proposed, assuming no substantial rate change occurs, and Talbert said it would save the county $838,000.
That wasn't possible 3 weeks ago because our AAA rating wasn't here. With the AAA rating, we are going to get much better borrowing rates as we go forward with school needs, older school needs, and a potential bond referendum.
Still, in the here and now, commissioners needed to decide the matter of raising the general property tax for the first time in 5 years to help fund schools. With $1.9 million of excess funds and the manager's recommended $2.9 million increase to work with, commissioners and financial staff started doing the math. After some discussion, two options came up for a vote. One idea was to raise the general property tax by 1.75 cents and use $1 million from the fund balance excess. Commissioners Renee Price and Earl McKee supported that option. McKee said that a second proposal, a 2-cent tax hike, was, quote, a psychological step for a lot of people, and it made him uncomfortable.
We have a lot of people in Orange County that live in modest and lower-income homes that own these homes, that are living paycheck to paycheck, day to day. They're having a hard time putting food on the table, much less any of what many of us take for granted, including myself.
But Commissioner Mark Dorson reminded everyone that the Orange County budget will already be on the books when the General Assembly budget is passed in coming weeks.
Given the fact that we know that there's likely to be some more bleak scenario coming out, there are going to be other cuts that are going to have to be made and tough decisions that will be coming, and I trust the two school boards recognize the reality of that situation. So I'm in favor of the 2 cents.
In the end, it was the 2-cent tax increase, supplemented by $911,000 from the fund balance, which passed 5-2. Afterward, Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Superintendent Tom Forsella and Board of Education Chair James Etta Bedford, who were in the audience, said they were very happy with the outcome. Here's Bedford.
This is a very positive budget for education in Orange County. I'm very pleased.
And here's Fursella.
I think we're very fortunate to have a Board of County Commissioners who support public education, especially in light of what's been happening up in Raleigh. So they came through for us, and we are very, very appreciative.
The Orange County Commissioners will vote on adopting the budget resolution on June 17th. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The Supreme Court has decided against passing the law that would ban cell phone use while driving in Chapel Hill. The law would have constrained tolling in the town as well. Despite the back-and-forth discussion since 2012, the ordinance had not gone into effect due to various legal issues. This latest decision to strike down the law was agreed upon unanimously. Manager of a local towing business, George King, sued the town of Chapel Hill over both laws. Due to the rule that would require towers to alert police within 15 minutes of making a tow, King said he could not perform his job properly without also making an infraction of the cell phone law. The Supreme Court has noted that while they already have restrictions in place in the use of cell phones and driving, they're completely within their rights to enforce the laws regarding towing procedure. Some regulations about towing were also struck down, but others, such as record drivers updating police before towing vehicles in impound lots being within 15 miles of town, will still remain. WCHL's Aaron Keck welcomed Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinsmith to the Thursday afternoon news to discuss the court's ruling.
It's good news for cities in North Carolina that we have the authority to regulate towing from private lots. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody from another news outlet called me today after this, too. I'm sure you're not surprised that's happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of played that that mind experiment with them. You know, what's happening when you are meeting George's Towing or any other towing company in Chapel? You're returning to a place where you know you left your car.
Mm-hmm.
It could very well be very late at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 2014. Who carries cash?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And here comes a stranger. You see a number. A stranger comes to pick you up who you have to say, you got to take me to a cash machine first.
Yep.
And, I mean, this is not a comfortable situation.
Right. And you get back to your car in the middle of the night, and it's gone. It could have been towed. It could have been stolen. Don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, you need to check with the police, and mm-hmm. none of that's fun. So this, I believe, you know, it's an inherently frightening, potentially frightening experience for anybody in any time of day if you think your car has been towed. Mm-hmm. And that's why I have some disagreements with some of the areas in which we, quote, lost. You know, the things that the court does is they limit our ability.
You might be hearing paper shuffling. It's a 21-page ruling, and both of us have a copy of it. So we're sifting through papers to find the specifics here.
Yeah, so like the town had set a fee schedule. You know, and mm-hmm. I don't recall right now. I should have looked, but I don't recall exactly what the dollar amount was and what we said the cap should be. But it should be noted, which the court didn't, that we actually consulted with towing companies to determine what that was. We had a process in place where we would do it annually
mm-hmm.
with the intention of hearing from towing companies about how the cost of providing the service went up, and so they need to, you know, we need to raise the cap on it. And I'm disappointed that the court didn't acknowledge that that was a responsible way of handling fees
yeah.
and then just rely on this notion that this is just undue interference
yeah.
with the ability
and
to
make
fact, money.
And in fact, I think there's a point in there where, and again, we're reading the ruling. It was written by Justice Newby. And there's a point in the ruling where Justice Newby says, well, George King asserted, and this is just sort of accepted without contention. And I don't know if there was contention in the actual argument that the cost of operating in accordance with the ordinance exceeds the maximum fee that the ordinance sets, and that's an undue burden on his ability to earn a livelihood. And that just seems to be accepted sort of as a given.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. And as I said, the court doesn't acknowledge that we actually had these provisions mm. to receive information and set a fee that's reasonable. I could imagine that if we were setting an unreasonably low fee, you know, you can't charge more than $20 to give somebody back their car, that would be unreasonable.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. This was, I don't know, it was $150-something dollar cap. And that the court would say that no rational relationship between a fee, a cap, and regulating and protecting health, safety, and welfare, I think to me is just outrageous, particularly as we go through that thought experiment I just went through.
And right.
What is happening when you are trying to get your car back? You know, it without any kind of confidence that the fee is reasonable. I mean, it becomes something close to extortion. Mm-hmm. There's no cap, so it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
They could charge literally
$500, $1,000 to get your car back.
Mm. Now we haven't seen that necessarily in Chapel Hill, but we've seen significant charges, more than 150. Has it ever been more than 200?
Oh, I've heard $300 charges. Since our towing ordinance was mm-hmm. held in abeyance and stayed, and our ability to enforce it was stayed, I've heard upwards of $300 to get your car back from a tow, which it's outrageous. Now, if you break down on the side of the road
mm-hmm.
and you call these same towing companies, you ask them to take you somewhere,
right?
It's what, $65 to $80?
That is just a portion of the discussion between Aaron Keck and Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinsmith right after the ruling came out yesterday. You can listen to the whole conversation on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Members of the labor movement, as well as the Forward Together Moral Movement, will be leading the next Moral Monday rally this coming Monday, 3 days from now, as one of the final Moral Monday events of this year's legislative session. North Carolina workers will be speaking out in defense of workers' rights for men and women. Protesters say that because the labor movement has been so vital for both workers' rights and civil rights, they will continue to let their voices be heard to ensure that the policies of the state will work for not just the wealthy and corporations, but for everyone. This Moral Monday protest also follows in the wake of extremist conservatives' attempts to inhibit actions such as singing, clapping, or speaking loudly, or what they have deemed any imminent disturbance. The protesting is set to take place at the North Carolina General Assembly, Halifax Mall, in the usual place on the Great Lawn behind the legislative building. That will start at 5 p.m. on Monday. And the state Senate has stripped Republican Governor Pat McCrory of the power to appoint all the members of a 3-member commission that makes the final decision on unemployment insurance benefits for North Carolinians. The Senate approved the measure without discussion yesterday to update the state's unemployment insurance system. The bill follows a spat in a Senate committee earlier this week where an official from the governor's office said lawmakers were bullying the office over the appointments. 2 members would be appointed by the General Assembly and 1 by the governor. The members would serve staggered 4-year terms representing employees, employers, and the general public. The Senate also approved a business court modernization bill. Wake Senator Tamara Barringer says the new rules will make courts more predictable for businesses and people. WCHL News Time is 7:18, and time now for traffic and weather together. And traffic brought to you this morning by Crown Honda of South Point.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 northbound and southbound between NC-54, that's Raleigh Road, and I-40. Seeing some delays. Heaviest delays on 15501 southbound between I-40 and the Ephesus Church Road area. Otherwise, things just minor to moderate in those areas. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Well, that's a good traffic report this morning, and we made it to Friday.
We sure did.
This week.
Made it all the way down the hill.
And the week has lasted a month, it seems. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the weekend.
Here we go.
Thanks very much, Rand Northam. You'll hear again from him in about a half an hour from now. Crown Honda of South Point is the home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located at Minute I 540 at the 751 exit. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, 67 degrees right now. Partly sunny today with a 50% chance for showers and thunderstorms. A high today in the middle 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain. And then clearing up somewhat after midnight. Only a 20% chance of rain in the wee hours in the morning. Our overnight low in the middle 60s. On Saturday, partly sunny. Slight chance of rain in the morning. And the high 85. Saturday night, we'll get down to 62 with clear skies. And then on Sunday, nice day. Mostly sunny with a high in the middle 80s. So our weather forecast, not so bad as the weekend wears on.
This is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
722. While UNC is embroiled in highly publicized academic and athletic scandals, local developer and former chair of the UNC Board of Trustees, Roger Perry, expresses support for the current administration in handling it, but says that Carolina got itself in trouble by accepting athletes who were not suited. Again, the comments of Roger Perry.
I think we got into a position athletically, and we began to accept a few folks, too many folks, who neither had the capacity, even with help, to succeed academically at Carolina, and even worse, in some cases, didn't really care to.
But Perry says that once here, the athletes are exploited, and he is critical of that.
I said that I felt like that student athletes, especially in football and probably in basketball, I am one of those people who believe that they are exploited by the universities, not Carolina solely, but by all these universities. When we compensate coaches at levels 10 times greater than we pay our chancellors, who bring in 20 times as much revenue or 40 times as much revenue to the school, when we don't allow an athlete to have enough money to be a student, to have enough spending money in order to we take some kid out of some poor background who doesn't have enough disposable income to wear clothes that he or she are proud of, to have enough money to go on a date, to have enough money to go buy a pizza when they want to and go out with their friends. When we isolate those students and make them all live together rather than sprinkling and making them live with the rest of the student body, you know, all of those things I think are out of whack and they need to change.
In the WCHL special interview with Jim Hevner, Roger Perry does express confidence in the current administration to figure it out.
Hopefully the lessons we've learned will let us be an example and a voice for change. I have a lot of confidence in Chancellor Folt, and I have a lot of confidence in Athletic Director Cunningham to be leaders in restoring that balance. And I think from the conversations I've had with both of them, they want to do that and are committed to do that.
Perry made his comments in the fourth and final part of an extended interview for WCHL. The final segment will be heard this morning at 8:30. 7:23 at WCHL, time for championship sports. The mother of former North Carolina basketball star Diamond Shields says her daughter is transferring to Tennessee. Tisha DeShields confirmed via text message on Thursday that Diamond has committed to the Lady Vols. The news reported earlier in the day by the Knoxville News Sentinel. WCHL reported back in mid-April that sources close to DeShields said Tennessee was already a done deal. DeShields, the 2013-14 Atlantic Coast Conference Freshman of the Year, averaged 18 points a game this past season to help North Carolina go 27-10 and reach a regional final. Under NCAA rules, DeShields would have to sit out a year before being eligible to play for Tennessee. North Carolina coach Sylvia Hatchell announced April 17th that the 6'1 guard out of Norcross, Georgia, planned to transfer. DeShields' mother was an All-American heptathlete for the Tennessee women's track team back in 1991 when she was known as Tisha Milligan. Michael Jordan has reached billionaire status. Forbes magazine estimated on Thursday that Jordan's equity as owner of the NBA Charlotte Hornets is $416 million, and his net worth outside of the team is $600 million. It reported that Jordan now owns 89.5% of the Hornets. Jordan spokeswoman Este Portnoy confirmed to the Associated Press that Jordan purchased an additional stake in the Hornets in January of last year, but wouldn't say how much. Portnoy had no comment on whether Jordan is a billionaire. Six-time NBA champion and, of course, a former star at Carolina, Jordan earned fame and fortune on the basketball court as well as through endorsements and movies. The 51-year-old Jordan became the majority owner of the Hornets, formerly the Bobcats, in 2010 when he bought out Bob Johnson's share of the team. And Carolina Panthers coach Ron Rivera says he's still unsure who will protect quarterback Cam Newton's blind side this season. Panthers have been searching for a replacement for longtime left tackle Jordan Gross, who retired earlier in the offseason. Byron Bell, last year's starting right tackle, and Nate Chandler, a converted defensive tackle, have been working as the starting tackles during workouts. They've been flip-flopping from left to right tackle depending on the day. Neither has played left tackle before in the NFL. Rivera says veteran Gary Williams, who's coming off a knee injury, could also figure into the mix once he gets healthy. The coach doesn't seem concerned that the team hasn't decided on a left tackle, saying there's still time. He says we'll see how we are once we get into training camp. And, of course, everybody knows the importance of a left tackle protecting the quarterback. A person with knowledge of Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling's legal strategy says his team of lawyers has hired four private investigation firms to dig up dirt on the NBA's former and current commissioners and its 29 owners. It gets uglier and uglier, folks. The individual, who was not authorized to talk publicly, says investigators were given a six-figure budget over the next 30 days to examine the league's finances, allegations of previous discriminatory conduct, and compensation to past Commissioner David Stern and current Commissioner Adam Silver. They're also looking into whether other owners ever made any off-color jokes or racist or sexist remarks. Donald Sterling is suing the NBA for $1 billion in federal court after the league tried to oust him as Clippers owner for making racist remarks to a girlfriend, and those remarks, of course, were publicized. WCHL Championship Sports, I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
How good are the San Antonio Spurs? This is Art Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. I picked it, the Spurs, quickly, but no one should be surprised at what San Antonio is doing to the two-time defending NBA champs in 2014 finals, blowing out the Heat twice in Miami with lightning starts and a team that somehow was vastly underrated, despite the best record in the NBA and a Hall of Fame coach who was still a trivia question to many fans. The Spurs will wrap up their fifth NBA championship Sunday in River City for a few reasons. Their roster is better than the Heat, top to bottom, negating the game's best player with breakneck offense in which everyone on the court is a threat to score. They have at least nine impact players with truly no superstars and don't play the pick-and-roll game of most other NBA teams. Coach Greg Popovich, a long-ago disciple of Carolina's Larry Brown, teaches more of a European style. Pass and move, pass and cut, keep moving, keep passing, and don't be afraid to take the ball to the hole or the open shot from anywhere on the court. Heretofore still not the favorite of the TV schedule makers, maybe the Spurs will be on enough next season to be truly appreciated. Even if the 38-year-old former Wake Forest star Tim Duncan and 36-year-old Manu Ginobili retire, they will still be the team to beat because of how they play. Besides Duncan, Tony Parker, Ginobili, and only among Carolina fans Danny Green, who could have named two or three other players on this team before the playoffs started? Boris Diaw, a 9-point career scorer, the 32-year-old fellow French phenom of Parker, Diaw only had 8 points in Thursday night's second straight beatdown of the Heat down, but he had 9 rebounds and 9 assists. That's a tough combination of size and skill to overcome. The Spurs have made the Heat look old and tired by continuing to run fresh players in and out. Grand old Argentine Ginobili comes off the bench to score only 7, but in his 28 minutes, the Spurs outpoint the Heat by 27. Kawhi Leonard, their new 22-year-old superstar from San Diego State, had 20 and 10, and Parker had 19, leading the 6 San Antonio foreign players in scoring. Meanwhile, LeBron James looked gassed, D-Wade looked old, and Chris Bosh looked lost. After Sunday's Game 5, we will have seen the last of the Big Three in Miami. Coming back from a 3-1 down is impossible affair. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Oh, wow. Look at these pictures of Mom and Dad from college. Those glasses are frightening.
If you're considering LASIK surgery, check out the experienced team at the UNC Kidner Eye Center.
No kidding. Those glasses are enormous.
We offer the highest quality laser solutions and the best technology available.
Kind of makes you wonder what we'll look like when we're their age.
Call us to schedule a screening today. 30 years from now, you may very well thank us again. The UNC Kidner Eye Center. Call 919-445-2020 or visit us at unci.org.
This month, we are celebrating dads and grads at Great Outdoor Provision Company. We can help you find just the right gift that lets that special person know how much you appreciate them. Father's Day is right around the corner, so why not surprise Dad with a high-performance Yeti cooler or maybe a pair of Costa Del Mar sunglasses? Or outfit that hard-working graduate with a pair of Chaco sandals, allowing them to pound pavement, trails, and waves in comfort and style. Come see us. We're at Eastgate or online at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Tar Heel Photo Booth. It's over half off photo booth rental and props for events and parties. You choose from two options. Rental for 2 hours is just $249, normally a $549 value. Photo booths have become a must-have for every event, from weddings to reunions to corporate events. Tar Heel Photo Booth uses only the latest professional equipment, and the photo booths are portable enough to go just about anywhere. Capture some epic moments at your next gathering. It's over half off from Tar Heel Photo Booth, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, 67 degrees, partly sunny, 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms today. Pretty much like it has been all week, except not as hot. High today about 85 degrees. Tonight we're looking at mostly cloudy skies, 50-50 rain, and then clearing up after midnight, overnight low in the middle 60s. Pretty good weather coming up for your entire weekend.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
Captivity for a couple of weeks, U.S. soldier Bo Bergdahl has been transferred from a hospital in Germany to a medical center in San Antonio.
He's now going to begin the third phase of this transition from being a prisoner of war to a military society, at least back in the United States. He'll likely be exposed to more things, such as the media and his family members.
Mike Lyons, a CBS consultant, is a retired Army major. Mark Gonsalves is an American civilian who was held captive by Colombian rebels when he was treated at Brooke Army Medical Center after his release.
I was anxious. I was sweating. I had a migraine headache. I was overwhelmed with all these different kinds of emotions.
Correspondent Cameron McCormick says along with the medical care, there will be debriefings.
Officials want to know as much as possible about his time in captivity. After that, the Army says it will continue its review into the circumstances surrounding his disappearance.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 67 degrees in Chapel Hill. Cloudy day, 50-50 chance of rain, but not as hot. High today about 85 degrees. I'm Rod Stutz. Orange County residents will likely see a 2-cent increase in general property tax to help fund schools over the next fiscal year. WCHL's Danny Hooley has the story.
I move approval of the resolution intent.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
On Thursday night, the duty of making a motion to pass a resolution of intent to adopt the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2014 to 2015 went to Commissioner Alice Gordon. Fellow Commissioner Mark Dorson all but insisted on that, saying that it would be her last opportunity to do so. She's retiring. Gordon joined other commissioners around the table at Southern Human Services Center in Chapel Hill in expressing a desire to fully fund local school systems, despite some of the back-and-forth admonishments over the past few weeks over funding requests. The $200.4 million expenditure budget that will be up for a final vote on June 17th includes a general fund school appropriation of $72.1 million, which equates to $3,571 per pupil in both the Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County school systems. Additional funding would amount to $7.1 million, enough to cover the combined shortfall for both school districts. Finding a solution to school funding problems was made a little easier with the news that Orange County's projected unassigned fund balance for fiscal year 2014 to 15 is $35.3 million, or 18.8% of the general fund expenditure. According to Orange County's policy, the unassigned fund balance should be 17% of the general fund. The current fund balance exceeds that goal by 1.83%, and the projected excess amounts to $1.9 million. On a related note, interim manager Michael Talbert informed commissioners that they will see an agenda item next Tuesday that reflects the county's new AAA rating. A refund will be proposed, assuming no substantial rate change occurs, and Talbert said it would save the county $838,000.
That wasn't possible 3 weeks ago because our AAA rating wasn't here. With the AAA rating, we are going to get much better borrowing rates as we go forward with school needs, older school needs, and a potential bond referendum.
Still, in the here and now, commissioners needed to decide the matter of raising the general property tax for the first time in 5 years to help fund schools. With $1.9 million of excess funds and the manager's recommended $2.9 million increase to work with, commissioners and financial staff started doing the math. After some discussion, two options came up for a vote. One idea was to raise the general property tax by 1.75 cents and use $1 million from the fund balance excess. Commissioners Renee Price and Earl McKee supported that option. McKee said that a second proposal, a 2-cent tax hike, was, quote, a psychological step for a lot of people, and it made him uncomfortable.
We have a lot of people in Orange County that live in modest and lower-income homes that own these homes, that are living paycheck to paycheck, day to day. They're having a hard time putting food on the table, much less any of what many of us take for granted, including myself.
But Commissioner Mark Dorson reminded everyone that the Orange County budget will already be on the books when the General Assembly budget is passed in coming weeks.
Given the fact that we know that there's likely to be some more bleak scenario coming out, there are going to be other cuts that are going to have to be made and tough decisions that will be coming, and I trust the two school boards recognize the reality of that situation. So I'm in favor of the 2 cents.
In the end, it was the 2 cent tax increase, supplemented by $911,000 from the fund balance, which passed 5-2. Afterward, Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools Superintendent Tom Forsella and Board of Education Chair James Etta Bedford, who were in the audience, said they were very happy with the outcome. Here's Bedford.
This is a very positive budget for education in Orange County. I'm very pleased.
And here's Forsella.
I think we're very fortunate to have a Board of County Commissioners who support public education, especially in light of what's been happening up in Raleigh. So they came through for us, and we are very, very appreciative.
The Orange County Commissioners will vote on adopting the budget resolution on June 17th. For more on this story, you can read it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
The Supreme Court has decided against passing the law that would ban cell phone use while driving in Chapel Hill. The law would have constrained towing in the town as well. Despite the back-and-forth discussion since 2012, the ordinance had not gone into effect due to various legal issues. This latest decision to strike down the law was agreed upon unanimously. Manager of a local towing business, George King, sued Chapel Hill over both laws due to the rule that would require towers to alert police within 15 minutes of making a tow. King said he could not perform his job properly without also making an infraction of the cell phone law. The Supreme Court has noted that while they already have restrictions in place in the use of cell phones and driving, they're completely within their rights to enforce the laws regarding towing procedure. Some regulations about towing were also struck down, but others, such as record drivers updating police before towing vehicles in impound lots being within 15 miles of town, will remain. WCHL's Aaron Keck had a conversation yesterday with Chapel Hill Mark Kleinsmith right after this news came out. You can hear that whole interview on our website, chapelboro.com. Members of the labor movement, as well as the Forward Together Moral Movement, will be leading the next Moral Monday rally on June 16th, which is, of course, Monday, 3 days from now. As one of the final Moral Monday events of this year's legislative session, North Carolina workers will be speaking out in defense of workers' rights for men and women. Protesters say that because the labor movement has been so vital for both workers' rights and civil rights, they will continue to let their voices be heard to ensure that the policies of our state will work for not just the wealthy and corporations, but for everybody. This Moral Monday protest also follows in the wake of extremist conservatives' attempts to inhibit actions such as singing, clapping, or speaking loudly, or what they have deemed any imminent disturbance. The protesting is set to take place at the usual place, the North Carolina General Assembly, Halifax Mall, on the Great Lawn, behind the legislative building. It will start Monday at 5 p.m. While UNC is embroiled in highly publicized academic and athletic scandals, local developer and former chair of the UNC Board of Trustees, Roger Perry, expresses support for the current administration in handling it, but says that Carolina got itself in trouble by accepting athletes who were not suited.
I think we got into a position athletically, and we began to accept too many folks who neither had the capacity, even with help, to succeed academically at Carolina, and even worse, in some cases, didn't really care to.
But Perry says that once here, the athletes are exploited, and he's critical of that.
I said that I felt like that student athletes, I am one of those people who believe that they are exploited by the universities, not Carolina solely, but by all these universities. When we compensate coaches at levels 10 times greater than we pay our chancellors, who bring in 20 times as much revenue or 40 times as much revenue to the school, when we don't allow an athlete to have enough money to be a student, to have enough spending money in order to we take some kid out of some poor background who doesn't have enough disposable income to wear clothes that he or she are proud of, to have enough money to go on a date, to have enough money to go buy a pizza when they want to and go out with their friends. When we isolate those students and make them all live together rather than sprinkling and making them live with the rest of the student body, all of those things I think are out of whack. and they need to change.
In the WCHL special interview with Jim Hebner, Roger Perry does express confidence in the current administration to figure it out.
Hopefully the lessons we've learned will let us be an example and a voice for change. I have a lot of confidence in Chancellor Fulton. I have a lot of confidence in Athletic Director Cunningham to be leaders in restoring that balance. And I think from the conversations I've had with both of them, they want to do that and are committed to do that.
Perry made his comments in the fourth and final part of an extended interview for WCHL, the final segment to be heard this morning, less than an hour from now at 8:30. The North Carolina House is ready to debate government spending adjustments for next year that differ from the Senate's proposal on education and health care. House members organized several hours of floor debate on Thursday before the first of two required votes on the $21 billion plan. The second vote should follow this morning. Passage is expected since Republicans writing the budget hold nearly two-thirds of the House's seats. A big test will come next week when House and Senate negotiators work on a final plan they want Governor Pat McCrory to sign before the 1st of July. The House and Senate budgets both propose large average pay raises for teachers, but would fund them differently. The Senate would rely on cuts in the public schools and Medicaid. The House would rely more on lottery money. WCHL News Time, 7:41. Fred Black said we should never, ever again consider using Memorial Day as a makeup day in the Chapel Hill Carberry City Schools. He will tell you why in today's commentary. That is on the way.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Over the last 15 years, thousands of you out there have worked with us to buy or sell property, and you always come back and you always refer your friends and family to us.
We are grateful for that loyalty and never take you for granted. This message really isn't for you. In fact, you guys hum quietly to yourselves. You know who you are.
This message is for those of you who don't have the kind of relationship with a realtor that we have with our clients. If you are buying or selling property this spring, you owe it to yourself to call Franklin Street.
Obviously, we prefer to be the only call you make, but if you're looking around, we should certainly be on your short list. Do this. Go to our website, check us out, give us a call.
FranklinStreetRealty.com. Our phone number is there, our agents are there, the bus schedule is there.
The buses here are free.
Yeah, and all kinds of cool links to local stuff.
Local, you mean like us, locally owned and operated?
Exactly. Not just another pretty faceless corporation. Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
This is Mark Vitale, CEO of All About Insurance. We're looking to add key people to our organization. Professionals in financial services and life insurance. Experience in those fields is necessary. We also have positions in outside sales to help build our commercial insurance enterprise. Experience there is a plus, but not required if you have a college degree. Compensation is very competitive. You will be well-trained and income possibilities are unlimited. Call Bill Astor, our president, at 919-616-3074. And Bill will put you in touch with me immediately.
Hello, my name is Brian Popp, owner of Landscape Logic and second generation landscaper. At Landscape Logic, we've been taking care of business for over 20 years. If your landscape has got you working overtime, we can help. Spring cleanup, weekly mowing programs, lawn care programs, irrigation startup, repair, and much, much more.
Let the pros at Landscape Logic take care of business and work overtime for you. Landscape Logic, the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
Good morning from 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. You're waking up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Fred Black. On Thursday, June the 5th, I had the opportunity to speak to the board of the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools. As on that very night 70 years earlier, ordinary members of our armed forces prepared to board ships, planes, and gliders to invade Normandy on D-Day and do some extraordinary things we all remember. Some 2,500 never lived to see June 7th, and they joined the ranks of the more than 1 million men and women we respect, honor, and remember for their sacrifice each Memorial Day. I asked our board to take the necessary steps to prevent what happened this year from ever happening again and remove Memorial Day as a makeup day from all future calendars. Our state law keeps Veterans Day from being used as a makeup day. And the board's good judgment and political astuteness keeps them from using the holiday honoring the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So why do we disrespect the holiday that honors 1 million Americans who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country? As other districts all around us found a way to honor Memorial Day and respect our dead, we didn't, and it shouldn't happen again. If you agree with me, please contact the school board and ask them to remove Memorial Day from the list of makeup days on all future calendars. Their phone number is 919-967-8211, and you can email the entire board at allboardmembers@chccs.k12.nc.us. This is Fred Black.
Is there a issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Jane McPherson, Cedars charter member since 2004. Here's what Jane had to say.
I have friends at all the local retirement communities, and they are most impressed with the fact that here at the Cedars, we have a car and driver at our disposal. But what I want to talk about now is financial stability, which we take very seriously here at the Cedars. People of our generation are conservative about how they treat the money they have earned. We don't like debt, either for ourselves individually or when we buy into a place. It goes against our values. It is a unique feature that the Cedars is entirely debt-free. Everything we pay goes toward our care and sustenance. Not a penny goes for debt service or interest on loans. And that is a major reason why the Cedars has been the right choice for us.
Thanks, Jane. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste break guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
This is Dr. Beth Goldstein with Central Dermatology Center. 1 in 5 Americans will develop skin cancer in their lifetime. To prevent skin cancer, we urge you to protect yourself from the sun by seeking shade, covering up, and wearing sunscreen. When caught early, skin cancer is highly treatable, so early detection and regular screening is critical. If you're concerned by a non-healing spot or a changing mole, make an appointment at Central Dermatology Center, 919-401-1994, or visit us online at centralderm.net. We accept most major insurances, including Medicare and TRICARE.
68 degrees, 748 at WCHL. More on the weather coming up just a moment here. And Rand Northam joins me in the studio now to talk about what's happening at our website, chapelbro.com.
Well, WCHL's Matt Oakes is in Pinehurst right now, and he's Pinehurst opining. He is writing about the U.S. Open, of course, and has brought us day one coverage of that, so you'll want to check that out as he is enjoying Pinehurst and the lovely golf match that's going on there.
It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it.
That's right. Also, Susan Murray has a great Farm to Fork gallery up on our website, chapelbro.com. We've got a great community calendar, of course, with lots of great events going on in and around Chapelbro. And, of course, all of our news and sports stories are posted there as well, and you can catch up on all those that you may have missed here on the WCHL Morning News on our website, chapelbro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
All right, time now for traffic and weather together. And our traffic report is brought to you this morning by Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace.
Thank you very much, Ron. The usual suspects seeing some problems right now, 15501 northbound and southbound between Estes Drive and Garrett Road. There is an accident, actually, right now on 15501. That's the Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard. It's at the Highway 15 bypass. It's in Durham. It's an accident that's moved to the shoulder of that road right around Garrett Road. So not causing any additional delays, it looks like, just the usual delays in that area, but still be on the lookout if you're traveling in that area. I-40 heading westbound right now between 15501 and NC-86, so quite a little bit of a stretch of highway there, seeing some delays. Might see some delays because of the merge, of course, from 3 lanes down to 2. That's where we usually see some delays. 15501 northbound between Columbia and Raleigh Road, seeing some delays as well. And Raleigh Road, NC-54, heading eastbound between 15501 and Barbie Chapel Road, also seeing some slight delays. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace, serving the best-tasting fountain drinks in town, made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees, guaranteed to taste great. Cruiser's, good to go. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by the Carolina Inn. 68 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 67 in Carborough, also 67 this morning in Hillsborough. Partly sunny, 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms. Not as hot and muggy today as yesterday and the day before. Our high today about 85. Tonight mostly cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain up until about midnight, then only a slight chance of rain in the wee hours of the morning. Overnight low 65. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 20% chance of rain in the morning, early in the day, and the high tomorrow in the middle 80s. Pretty good weather from then on out for the rest of your weekend. 751 at WCHL, and Rand Northam is here instead of Wayne Pond. Wayne Pond has another day off. How many days off have we given that guy? Come on.
Let's see, 140. what's half of 365?
Oh, man, 182 and a half.
Sure. Great.
Yeah, well, anyway, Wayne will be back on Monday, as far as we know. But, the pressure's on you to deliver a good word for today. And by the way, I got some kudos on our word yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
And, of course, we had a winner. I can't remember who it was now, but
sure.
Had a couple people call in and tell me they loved the word.
I loved your Facebook post about it. So that was good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I appreciate you sharing that knowledge.
Had fun. Mugwump.
Mugwump.
Yeah. Well, even had somebody call me this morning about it.
I guess that one was better than, what was that, Hemi Demi Semi Quaver.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
Clarence Whitefield called me this morning and said, nice. Mugwump is a mug on one, ugly mug on one side and a wump on the other or something like that. That was not the definition that you had, but that's
that was right. Not, no.
Oh, well. What do you got today?
Today we've got Freegan, not to be confused with Friggin. But Freegan, Freegan.
Freegan.
F-R-E-E-G-A-N, Freegan.
Okay.
It is an activist who scavenges for free food to reduce consumption of resources. It is a Freegan.
Who scavenges for free food.
Right.
To reduce consumption of resources?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So not only are you scavenging for free food, but you're... trying to reduce?
Well, so, yeah, you're scavenging in not because you are poor or because you can't find any food or because you can't afford any food.
Yeah.
But because you want to reduce, instead of going to the store and buying something, you want to go use something that's just left behind.
Oh.
So you're going to go jump in the garbage can and pick out what's left. And
okay.
That's that.
All right. Well, can't say I've ever heard that.
I have not either.
But that's our word of the day, Freegan.
Freegan.
And if it's brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Now, why would you call anyone else?
I don't know.
Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. All right. Ready for the clean joke of the day?
Yes, sir.
Once again, you get Rand Northam. And, Rand, what do you have for us?
Well, a Spanish captain was walking on his ship when a soldier rushes to him and exclaims, "An enemy ship is approaching us." The captain replies calmly, "Go get my red shirt." The soldier gets the shirt for the captain. The enemy ship comes in, and heavy rounds of fire are exchanged. Finally, the Spaniards win. The soldiers ask, "Congrats, sir, but why the red shirt?" The captain replies, "If I got injured, my blood shouldn't be seen, as I didn't want to, I didn't want my men to lose hope." Just then, another soldier runs up and says, "Sir, we just spotted another 20 enemy ships." The captain calmly replies, "Go get my yellow pants."
I'm not even going to ask you any more about that. I figured it all
okay,
out.
Yep. I think we got that one.
The first one was downright inspiring. The first one was pretty smart.
Yep.
Second one,
What would you do if 20 enemy ships were coming your way?
Probably hide. 754 at WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Jeannie Bell is the new Executive Director for Farmer Food Share, and she's today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Farmer Food Share is a nonprofit organization that connects people who grow food with people who need food, working to make sure that everybody in the community has fresh local food available to them. Donations of fresh produce or cash at farmers markets. Any cash donated is used to buy more fresh produce from local farmers. The donation stations operate every week that there's a farmers market. So we get a lot of donations during the busy season when there are lots of shoppers, there's tons of produce. But during the winter, people still need good, healthy food. And there are great social service agencies all around the triangle doing good work, but fresh food is often in short supply. So what we're really challenging the community to do during June is to donate to a buying reserve for the winter so we can make fresh food available to the needy in our community.
Even here in what we like to think of as an affluent community, there is plenty of poverty.
If we're talking about Orange County, 1 in 5 North Carolinians, 1 in 5 people in Orange County are at risk for hunger or food insecure. So that means over 20,000 people in our county. It's a huge problem, and the number's higher for children. 1 in 4 children in North Carolina are food insecure, which is the politically correct way of saying at risk for hunger, don't know where their 3 meals a day are going to come from. And we certainly see that there's a lot more need in the northern part of Orange County. There's a big hunger problem. It's everywhere.
Jeannie Bell says at Farmer Food Share, they have a very few people who get a lot of work done.
Just a few staff members, but we've partnered with over 20 farmers markets across North Carolina, hundreds of farmers, dozens of social service agencies, food pantries, community kitchens, and hundreds of volunteers. We encourage anybody who wants to get actively involved to consider coming out to farmers markets, make a donation, purchase food, donate to the buying reserve, or volunteer.
If you'd like to help, go to farmerfoodshare.org.
Join us, help us raise a buying reserve for the winter season when food is scarce.
Jeannie Bell loves her work because she loves helping other people.
I've been interested in sustainable agriculture and local food for a long time. I used to work in the public school system and saw the incredible need even in affluent communities like ours here in Chapel Hill, and got interested in making sure that fresh food, good food is accessible to everyone in the community. Along the way, as a farmer's market shopper, saw the donation stations, learned more about Farmer Food Share, and started volunteering. I've been involved with Farmer Food Share about 2 years now.
And already, Jeannie is executive director. She's also today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Vietri and Panciuto Restaurant are pleased to present a Southern-inspired Italian supper. Join us on June 24th at 6:30 p.m. for a four-course dinner with wine at Hillsborough's Treasure Gem Panciuto. Enchant yourself with the magical story of Vietri as founder Susan Gravely joins you at the table, and learn more about chef owner and four-time James Beard Award nominee Aaron Vandermark's farm-to-table philosophy. Visit vietri.com for more details and call 732-6261 to purchase tickets. Ciao!
Do you want to know the most affordable secret for anti-aging? Sunscreen. Daily use of sunscreen will help prevent photo-aging such as wrinkles, broken blood vessels, and brown spots, as well as skin cancers associated with sun exposure. Carolina MediSpa carries several different options depending on your needs and skin type. Everyone should be using a sunscreen that is SPF 30 or higher with broad-spectrum UVA and UVB protection every day. Stop by Carolina MediSpa today for a sample of a sunscreen that's right for you. All sunscreens are 20% off in April and May.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Refinements Resale Boutique. It's 50% off. $20 worth of merchandise available now for $10. Refinements Resale Boutique for Women is the place to shop brand name clothing at a fraction of retail price. In their new location just 1 mile north of South Point Mall in Sutton Station off Fayetteville Road, pure shopping bliss in a relaxed, organized, and soothing atmosphere is what Refinements is all about. And it's available for a limited time. So buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover weather brought to you by Glass Half Full. 68 degrees in Chapel Hill, partly sunny with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms later on in the day.
Our high today about 85, so kind of hot, but not as hot as it has been. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain, and then partly cloudy overnight with only a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Our overnight low, about 65. Tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms early in the day, and otherwise high 85 and a really nice day. Same goes for Sunday. Glass Half Full is a friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. And the beautiful garden patio is now open for outdoor dining. Good food, good wine, lots of fun, too. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Former captive back in the U.S.
Bergdahl's transition needs to be gradual.
Militants take two more Iraq towns.
With virtually no resistance from Iraq's security forces.
Tennessee school plot.
I hear about it everywhere else, and it opened my eyes up.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. 2 weeks after gaining his freedom from the Taliban, Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl is back on American soil. He arrived overnight at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio. Reporter Michael Board is covering.
Sergeant Bergdahl will get more medical testings. He will undergo more psychological treatments, more military debriefing to try to figure out what exactly happened when he was held hostage, and then an important